From Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, PTSD stress and coping expert, Dr. ML Nichols.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Eliana Gilad. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I think it's wonderful how so many things work together in our world, at least. And one of those things is that we had Dr. Emma Michaels Nichols set up to be our guest. In the meantime, for the past couple weeks, I've been working with Tess Cacciatore in recording The Little Dog That Could, my book, and turning it into an audiobook. Well, wouldn't you know it? Yesterday's or 2 days ago, we came to the chapter where I was talking about the passing of my grandmother. You know, we've been actually working on this for 2 months. And so the fact that now we come to this part is amazing to me, just as we're going to have Dr. Nichols on the show. And so what happened was that we ended up needing to stop and start several times because I broke down. And though a little emotion would have been okay, the words were unintelligible. So we had to stop and do it over. And Tess was crying, I was crying, and it was all over this chapter or this portion on the passing of my grandmother. Now, my grandmother passed in 1993. So this is 23 years ago or so. And I'm still getting emotional, and I wondered, am I not over it? Because doesn't time heal? And so isn't it interesting that our episode tonight is called When Time Doesn't Heal? And of course, that is the title of Dr. Nichols' book that we'll be talking about, How to Overcome Loss, Grief, Trauma, and PTSD in 30 minutes or less. And so I'm very excited to be having that conversation. And I'd like to ask him, what is the difference between just being connected and loving her and whether I was crying because of that or crying because I miss her? I'm not sure. So I'd like to explore that with him when we come back. And a little later on, looking so forward to the music of Eliana Gilad, who will be performing on the spot right here in the studio. Based on the energies that she feels, and also, I believe, on because today is the solar eclipse, or the lunar eclipse, or the solar eclipse. Yeah. And so that was this morning, and so today is a new beginning. So this is new beginning indeed, very exciting. And when somebody passes, Dr. Nichols was telling me before, that could be a new beginning too. So looking forward to exploring all of that here on the Life Changes Show when we come back after this.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark Legere. And Mark, I have to say, the inspiration for having Dr. Nichols on was just as we found out that your mother had passed.
Yeah, almost a shocking correspondence or coincidence is the word I was looking for. Having just gone through that, I was really re-looking at and, in essence, learning death. Realizing, you know, you don't really know how you're going to deal with it until you go through it. And so that's why I think what we're going to hear today and the tools that we're going to learn can be so helpful for so many.
Absolutely. Well, he's one of the world's leading authorities on stress and coping and an expert on post-traumatic stress disorder. He's innovative, he's insightful, and has created the 5-step stress coping model and how to break the threshold barrier of rewiring the nervous system, meaning how to solve a problem during the first session and enhance a personal success, which he calls win time. He's authored a couple books. Today we're going to be talking about When Time Doesn't Heal. He's a chaplain. He's a teacher. He's so much. And we're so glad he's here. Dr. M.L. Nichols, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you. It's my pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. And we got to talking on the phone and before the show. And I really like your work. And it is so, I almost don't know where to begin because I want to know so much and want to share so much with our audience. But let's start at the beginning. You came to all of this as a chaplain.
Yes, my mother died. And I have it in the first part of the book. That's how I introduced the book. I was in Kansas City, Missouri, and my mother passed, and I was using all my skills to cope with it. But the day she died, I could just feel the house closing in on me, and I said, I've got too much training, and I know too much for me to have to experience this. So it was my prayer to God that He would give me a way for me to work through this. So while I went out to, there's a park called Luce Park, north of the Country Club Plaza in Kansas City, and I was running through the park, and while I was running, my brain was running through all the training I'd had in neuro-linguistic programming, mm-hmm. hypnosis, and theology. And the program on it, and I remember the Kubler-Ross steps mm-hmm. On death and dying, anger, denial, blaming, bargaining, resolution, and then from my neuro-linguistic training programming, future pace means have a post-hypnotic suggestion. And one of the key thoughts that went through my mind is from Tony Robbins, who I've assisted, he would always say, repetition is the mother of all skill. And having studied affirmations, I thought there must be an affirmation I can say. So I came up with, I'm angry because I'm wanting to blame the doctors for my mother's death. Because there was a nurse that had given her morphine. And one of the things I know in hospital settings from my training is when you're given morphine, that is the death drug.
That's it.
Yeah, that finishes you off. So when they gave her morphine, I was wanting to say, oh, that sugary, sweet nurse, not wanting her to be in any pain, put her over the line. So I said, I started repeating to myself, I blame her, 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 I blame her.
Now that's negative.
Yeah, it's negative. But I was coming in touch. The emotion was negative. It was anger. So I wanted to feel it and take it through threshold. And after I repeated it 26 repetitions, I took that through threshold. And then I thought the next step is to get rid of denial. My mother has died. So then I wanted to come into reality. There was a therapy called reality therapy. I think it was by Bill Glasser. Okay. And so I thought, I'll repeat that the 26 times because I know that's where threshold is. And I repeated it 26 times that she is dead. She is dead, which is a morbid thought, but it was the truth. And I wanted to come in touch with reality. And then I wanted to get beyond the blaming of the nurse. And then I wanted to come to total acceptance that she had died.
So you're doing this consecutively within a short period of time?
Yes, within an hour and a half of me out running.
So the theory is that in normal life, the normal process is that people, a day later, I can't believe she's dead. And then a week later, I still can't believe she's dead. So you kind of brought that all into 15 minutes or so.
I short-circuited it.
You short-circuited it. Interesting.
Okay. time doesn't heal anything. It just gives you the chance to do additional repetitions. So the question that has to be asked is, how many repetitions do I have to do in order to rewire my central nervous system and move it to my brain to where it has acceptance of that? And from my training with dealing with people, when we do the repetition model, and it doesn't matter whether it's a death or anything else, on whatever emotion they're experiencing, I want them to repeat it 26 times in a sentence. And somewhere along the way, they will have a Freudian slip in making the statement, and then I know that I've moved them ahead. And that's more Ericksonian hypnosis, where the person has this twitch. And that twitch means that the nervous system has accepted it.
And this is without hypnosis, however.
Without hypnosis.
Right.
Yeah, because one of the presuppositions we're working from is that repetition presupposes trance. So just by meditating on a subject and repeating it again, again, and again, and again, a person goes into a self-trance or self-hypnosis.
Fabulous.
So what happened? So first you went into blame, then you went into
anger, blaming, and then bargaining. Is there something I can do? And I thought, no, there's nothing I can do. My mother is dead. I did everything I could, and I gave myself credit for coming back for the 3 weeks before she died. I took time off work and went back to be with her in the hospital. So you want to give yourself credit for what you've done leading up to that in the death, so that there's nothing hanging over. You want to get rid of all unfinished baggage.
Do you do the same repetition thing with that?
Yes,
same thing. And what did that sound like?
I did the best I could under the set of circumstances to help her. I made a positive affirmation that I did everything that I could that was humanly within my power. I wasn't the doctor. I couldn't give her medical advice. I did talk to the doctor about the vitamin C therapy that was vogue in those days, and he said I'd done it with other patients. I wasn't going to use it with her. So I let him off the hook, but I sort of had a little bit of blaming there. As I thought, I wish I could have done more. But I, under the set of circumstances, I felt intimidated going into a hospital that I had no credibility and talking to the doctor.
I should mention to the audience that you had experience with letting people know that someone had passed. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. I've retired from the United States Navy. I was a lieutenant commander chaplain and served 26 years. And in the military, in death, chaplains, that's almost their MOS for taking care of the dead while they're on the battlefield. And that's what we're to do. And one of the things I learned in our chaplain school, we had a great instructor that had studied at Harvard. And he was a chaplain also and been to Vietnam, and he'd seen so much carnage. He just said, tell it how it is. Don't sugarcoat anything. Tell the truth, which goes back to Bill Glasser reality therapy. Tell the truth of what it is. If somebody has died, state the fact they are dead. They're not coming back.
Because otherwise, if it's ambiguous, then it leaves questions in their mind, and it further complicates things.
That's right. It adds baggage. You don't want to hang on to it. So you want to bring it close. Like they say, bring your enemies close so you'll know what they're doing. You want to bring the emotions close.
Interesting.
Identify the emotion. You grasp and you hug the emotion, and then it's not powerful over you. You've taken charge of it.
So you were the bringer of the truth, and more often than not, it sounds like the truth was bad news. So you had to deal with all that, and then you had to figure out how to deal for when you were emotionally attached to it. And it sounds like you've come up with a way that works for you and obviously for many people. When we come back, I'd like to talk more about that and still ask you the question of why I might have been still crying about my grandmother 24 years later. We'll be right back with Dr. Michael L. Nichols. And a little later on, again, we'll be having live music here, created live by Eliana Gilad, all on the Life Changes show right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Dr. M.L. Nichols. And so before the break, I was saying, why was I crying 24 years later because of my grandmother? What would you say to that, Michael?
I would say you've got unfinished business. And you might have, I would then hit the denial that you thought you'd finished it, that and you had not. So that's part of the denial stage. So the first thing is I would have you repeat 26 repetitions. I have been in denial for 24 years. And I'd have you keep repeating that until I heard the Freudian slip come up.
And that is to bring up the fact that, yes, I have been in denial. But once I've done that, then the process, which is in the book, starts.
Yeah,
is that it?
Then it's continuation of the book. Then you would go to the phase that I accept that she is dead and I did. And you want to also make a statement that you did everything you could under the set of circumstances, because a lot of times when there's a death, we want to blame ourselves for the person dying, that we didn't do as much as what we could have.
Right.
But no matter who the person is, they've always done as much as they could. Even if they thought, I could do more, because of the set of circumstances, they could not.
Boy, and not having that awareness, not only are they not taking those steps to reprogram themselves, many probably are doing the repetition but repeating those stories of self-guilt or self-doubt or whatever the story was of the death beforehand, their state of mind before the death. So they're actually repeating but maintaining the internal negative dialogue.
Let me think about that for a second. The repetition, when I have a person or a client, I have them state it exactly the same way every time. There can't be a variation, because we want the brain to program itself exactly the same way so that we get exactly the same thought, not a different thought. So they might be doing, let's say, 15 or 16 repetitions, then they change one of the words, one of the verbs, which then changes the whole setting.
Right,
so we want
right.
to be very precise. So I take and write out the words that they're going to, they tell me what words to write. I write it down for them, and then they read it to me back.
Right. So Mark's point is well taken. What I heard him say is that in life in general, not just in this, that people repeat things that do not serve them. And so you were talking about the Catholic Church during the break, and I remember before my time, but my mother still taught me this, but we didn't do it in the church at that point anymore. But she would beat her chest, her hand with her chest with her hands, and say, mea culpa, mea culpa, mea culpa, which was my fault, my fault, my fault. Like, I'm guilty, I'm guilty, I'm guilty. So using those kinds of negative reinforcements over and over and over again, and in the case of somebody passing, they could say, it was my fault, it was my fault, it was my fault. And they do that over and over again. So it's working against them.
Yeah,
unless,
it's negative. Yeah. So I have them write it out as a very positive statement so that they can go from where they are, a negative state, to a positive state. If we were to create a mathematical quadrant, the lower left is negative, negative, and upper right is positive, positive. We want to go from negative, negative to positive, positive.
In that situation and in life, I would suspect.
Yes, in everything.
In everything.
In everything. Yeah. Well, you want your problem to be a stepping stone to success and your advancement and prosperity.
I like that. And I this is a bit off topic, but it's in your topic. You say that you recognize that in everyone there is a genius in something.
Yes.
That sounds so good. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Okay, everybody is good at something. Even if it's being bad, they could be a genius at doing poorly. And then there's a lot of geniuses that they think they've got ADH, and the kid's a genius. You know, he's brilliant, and he's a genius savant. In one particular area, they are great. They might be average in everything else, but one area they're great at. So a person needs to find their one genius area and accentuate the positive of what they have.
Okay, so if they're good at being bad, then the positive is that maybe the way they are being bad can be used in a positive manner.
Need to have a reframe of the meaning. Reframe is taking one meaning and giving it a different meaning in a different context. So we take it out of the context of where they were and put them into a new context where they look good.
Nice. Like gang leaders that have become leaders helping people in certain ways, et cetera. And there has been a lot of that kind of thing.
Right.
So wonderful. And now, I think we're back on topic with this question, role play. Where do you use that?
Okay, when a person has, where I use this most of the time is I'm dealing with a client or a person that has had a person die, and so they have not said their proper goodbyes. So I have them pretend, like in a gestalt role play, that the person is there, and I have them visualize that the person is sitting in the chair.
Wow.
And then they speak to the person and say anything and everything that they needed to have said that they had not said, that they wished they could have said, and they beat themselves up for saying, I didn't tell her goodbye. Mm-hmm. So what I would have them do is I'd have them say, hey, sit over here and see your mother there and say, goodbye, mother, I love you. And then I'll play the part of the mother with the voice, like the chorus in Greek drama, and I'll repeat back to her, thank you, I accept that, and I love you too. So we get this dialogue going back that they experience a reality because they're doing creative imagination, but the brain doesn't know the difference between the two.
Wow.
And it accepts it as reality.
Now, we were talking before the show that actually Dorothy, Mark, and I, we've all had NLP and timeline therapy, and we've done role play. So this isn't something that, it sounds easy actually, but it's not something that you can just say to a friend, oh, you sit here and I'm going to role play with you, because things could come up that friend might not know what to do.
Exactly. Like when I was taking my training, I was good at getting into people's heads. And I had my assistants that were taking the same training as me, they freaked out. And the trainer had to come over and take them away from me And then we went to the next session about 2 hours later, and I had the next trainee freak out on me. I went too deep, too quick. And then the third one came, third exercise we did, again, I did the same thing. So I followed the trainer to see how they brought them back into normalcy.
Oh.
And so I learned things that weren't taught in the course by following the instructor and seeing the words that they said on how to keep a person normal and in sanity.
At a difficult time.
At a stressed out time.
Right. Right.
Right. And then when I worked with Tony Robbins, one of the things I remember we were doing the firewalk weekend, and there'd be people in the training, and some of it was too heavy for them. So I was sitting on the outside, and that was one of my jobs that I got to do, was that if they freaked out, I'd get them back so they could go back in for the training and get their money's worth.
One last question on the role play. As a chaplain, because I've also done this in the American Indians do something like that, the Constellation family, and all of that. So it's done in other traditions. But coming from a chaplain's point of view, in the case of somebody who has just passed, what is your belief? Is the soul of the person there, the energy? Is there something happening just outside of just the conversation?
It's happening on the inside, because I believe the kingdom of God is within, and God speaks to people on the inside. And where I first learned this was when I went to the Navy Chaplain School. There was a Captain Carl All, who was the instructor, and he'd been to Vietnam. And one of the first role plays I had ever done was we had to practice with the other chaplains delivering a death message. And what I learned is you don't beat around the bush. You just state that so-and-so is dead. And so you deal with reality right up front. And then you take and deal with the person's emotions if they cry and they have a lot of remorse. And then you help them work through the different steps of Kubler-Ross on death and dying.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, because you and I were talking before the show, and that some of her techniques that I've done workshops on as well are no longer used. So when we throw out a name like that, this is different work that you're describing than what I had experienced, for example.
Right. Mine was in the early days. I think you said you went in the 90s or something like that.
Right, in the early 2000s, actually.
Well, mine goes back into the mid-70s.
Right.
So that was when she, I think, first written her books and stuff. And
interesting.
It was her early works, which was right on target.
Well, the good news is that we're learning and we're growing and we're helping and supporting each other the best we know how.
That's right.
And we'll just keep getting better at it. I want to make sure that people know that your website is on our page that we've created for you, Dr. M.L. Nichols. It is www.site.drmlnichols.net. So there they'll find, is it four books you have? Or
Right now I have two books that are published.
Okay.
This is When Time Doesn't Heal, and the other one is The 1 Minute Leader.
Okay.
A play on words from The 1 Minute Manager.
Right.
But I take a lot of the presuppositions from NLP and hypnosis and put those into the first 17 chapters.
In plain language, I would imagine.
In plain language, easy. Okay. I taught all of those live at California Institution for Men to the executive staff. They were presented live presentations.
Wow. Yeah, well, you've from the Navy to what you just shared, you've worked with a lot of men. Are you finding that men have a harder time dealing with some of these things, or is it equal with women?
The difficulty is whether they do the repetitions. It doesn't have a gender specific.
Interesting.
Because my second client, besides myself, was my aunt who lived with my mother.
Oh, interesting.
And then the third person I tested it on, and my aunt got better right then and there on the spot, and she never exploded and got angry. This was the first time I'd ever seen her angry in her entire life. When my mother died, and within 3 or 4 days, we were moving all the stuff out of the house, and she had lived with her for her entire life. So it was a total loss for her. So she got better right then and there. And then my son, we came back to California. He was starting to, space out was a better word, not freak out, but space out. Okay. He was standing out on the football field, and his mind was going back to his grandmother dying. So I said, hey, let's go up to our bedroom. And in 15 minutes, we sat down and we went through the process, and I took him through the repetitions, and he got over it.
Okay. So the key is actually doing them all and not stopping, because if you stop too soon, then it won't work.
It'll be left hanging.
It'll be left hanging.
So you'll have baggage to finish up.
Well, we've still got some unfinished business ourselves here on the show that we'll come back to with Dr. Michael L. Nichols, and then we're gonna have music created live here on the Life Changes Show with Eliana Gilad in just a moment. Right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and, of course, our guest, Dr. M.L. Nichols. And so, speaking of unfinished business, just want to make sure everybody has his site, www.site.drml, as in Dr. M.L. Nichols, NICHOLS.net. And also, unfinished business, that's what people have with people that have passed?
It can be with people past, or they remember there was a pitcher for the California Angels that threw a gopher ball during the World Series playoff, and they hit a three-run homer, and he committed suicide in the offseason because he couldn't deal with taking the blame for making the team lose the world, going to the World Series. Mm. So that's unfinished business, and it can get pretty heavy.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be a person. It can be just even in just a game, a sport.
And so this process is what's used for that as well.
Yeah, you'd use it, to get the person to take ownership. That was one of my opinions, part of Tiger Woods' problem. I heard that he was going through lots of spiritual training and other things for his therapy, but it's almost like he has a golf club phobia now. Because remember, the window got banged out with a golf club. Maybe he sees a golf club coming towards him.
And so it's
anchored in. And my educated guess, without having talked to him, is that he's got a golf club phobia, which needs to be dealt with.
Interesting. Well, it sounds like he needs, when this book, When Golf Clubs Don't Heal.
Right.
wow. So, no, when time doesn't heal, how to overcome loss, grief, trauma, and PTSD in 30 minutes or less. And Doctor, you had one kind thing you wanted to share with Mark, specifically regarding his mother. So what was that?
Let's see if you can read my writing there.
Because I did my prep work before death of my mother, I can and am... am guilty. I can and am getting on with my life now and in the future. I can and am getting on with my life now and in the future.
Yeah, so you're giving yourself permission.
Thank you.
And you've already, and you're future pacing the statement with a future thing that I'm doing. I am doing it. Not that I did it in the past, but I am
I can, and
in the future I am doing it.
Getting on with my life now and in the future. That's great.
And
thank you.
Thank you. And that kind of information is in the book.
Yes.
It is such a pleasure to have had you here today. I'm so glad this worked out so perfectly to have you be here on the solar eclipse.
Yeah,
I think it was a new beginning.
Let me say, I think it's vibrational energy that brought us together, because you've been working on some of the same topics I have in my book.
Absolutely.
And that's called the law of attraction, and vibrational energy. Positive energy attracts positive energy. Negative energy attracts negative energy. And you have very good positive energy.
Thank you. Thank you, as do you. And we haven't shared any of what we shared with you yet. We haven't made that announcement. So that's all between us for the moment, and then we'll share with the rest of the world. But we'll hope to quote you when we bring out the information.
Okay, thank you.
So thank you, Dr. Michael L. Nichols. And joining us in the studio is our executive producer, Dorothy Adonihue, for the Ask Dorothy segment. But before that, Mark, do we have any shout-outs?
We do. Speaking of positive energy, we want to send some to our very own computer guru, Jeff Krantz, who's been doing a great job at helping us navigate our computer platform. And for any of you for any of your PC and or Mac computer challenges, please see Jeff Krantz at krantzguru.com. That's K-R-A-N-T-Z, guru, G-U-R-U.com. Dorothy, my name is Carla, and I'm from Sarasota, Florida. Everyone I know is talking about the big eclipse that occurred today. Yet when I ask them what the big deal was, they say they don't know. What's going on, and what makes this eclipse so important?
Carla, I love this question. And in my world, today's eclipse is a really big deal because it is all about alignment. The sun and the moon are aligning, and so many people are talking about this. Not only was there a total eclipse, this happened on a new moon. I like this article from The Edge, which explains what solar eclipses and new moons are all about. Solar eclipses always occur at the same time as a new moon. In astrology, the sun is the planet that represents our focus, our most personal desires, goals, and our external self. It is the planet of our personality, our self-expression, the tangible ways we interact in the world. It's the planet that governs our extroversion, this personal significance of our goals and desires, and who we are at our most outgoing. The new moon is a time for putting our goals into tangible practice. It's a time to take the necessary steps towards what we want to create for ourselves. When we take a trip, first we must drop a map and to get there. The new moon is when we pack up our shit, get in the car, and start driving. Therefore, the solar eclipse provokes changes that are more external, when events outside of us might get in the way of what we want and the path we must take to get it. It forces us to find a different route to our goals. Generally, the changes that a solar eclipse ushers in are positive, as the sun is categorized as a positive planet. We may be pushed forward into a new job before we think we're even ready, and the eclipse will show us just how ready we really are. Ultimately, a solar eclipse is meant for us to demand more of ourselves, and the events around it will prove to be a test of our strength and resolve to achieve our dreams. Be sure to embrace the changes with open arms and an open mind. I see this event as a time for all of us to get into alignment with ourselves and with one another through unconditional love. It is time for us to really use unconditional love for ourselves and everybody else out there, and remember that we are all truly one. There is no separation. I began my celebration of the eclipse by first watching our amazing You Are Love video, voiced by Filippo. You can find the video at our Facebook page for the Life Changes Show. This video is a reminder for each of us that we are all one and all connected, and I'm using this eclipse as an opportunity to totally align myself with myself and others. Wouldn't it be great to have everyone we know celebrate our oneness on this special, special day? I believe that together we can change the world. Let's ask everyone we know to come into alignment with love and peace. This is also a perfect time for us to align our masculine and feminine energies, as the sun represents the divine masculine and the moon represents the divine feminine. Let's also take special care and write down our intentions for ourselves. This is what new moons are all about. And for our planet, as we will be supported by this new moon in manifesting them. I always begin my list of intentions in this way. Thank you for unlimited abundance and all good things. Thank you for continued perfect health and the energy needed to manifest all of my highest and best good. Thank you for peace within me and for peace on earth. This is a great beginning for my monthly new moon intentions, and I always state them with the attitude of gratitude, as if I've already created what I wish to see in my life. I lovingly encourage you all to join me in making this a monthly new moon ritual, whether or not there is an eclipse.
Oh, great. Thank you, Dorothy. And if any of you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
Very good. And we'll be back with our musical guest, Eliana Gilad, here on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course, our guest, Dr. M.L. Nichols. And joining us in the studio is our musical guest. However, she is so much more than that. She's an author. She's the author of Miriam's Secret, Revealing the Ancient Wisdom of Feminine Leadership. She is a TEDx presenter. She is the founder of VoicesOfEden.com, and that's the Ancient Wisdom and Healing Music Institute. And she is a leadership mentor, so much more. And there's something else I'm going to mention, but that's in a moment after we bring her on. Eliana Gilad, welcome to the show.
Thank you very, very much for inviting me. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, you could thank Tess for saying you need to have her on the solar eclipse and tell us why this is so perfect.
First of all, I want to acknowledge all of you for a fabulous show and the Ask Dorothy. I just was sitting listening going, it's just amazing how everything is in divine right timing. What you're about to hear, what Voices of Eden music is, it's a resurgence of an ancient use of voice and rhythm as natural healing, transformation, and feminine leadership tools. Such was practiced by the ancient leaders of pre-biblical times. Wow. And thousands of years ago, leaders would go to the temples and they would avail themselves of special applications of wordless vocals and rhythms that would bypass the intellect, that would reach the higher mind and allow for them to go through change and to make decisions and to go through transitions in a focused and in a calm way. Now, how do we know this? How can we prove something that wasn't written down? Because it's more than it's about 5,000 years old. I've devoted my life and my career to this, and this is an evidence-based modality begun 20 years ago in a 50-50 Israeli-Palestinian neonatal intensive care unit during war. Talk about PTSD. And what we find is that on the ancient structures, we see that the use of this sound was in transition, meaning in birth and in death. So when you were speaking about the transition, I was just astounded. So it just, okay, this is going to be a very, very interesting session.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you know, I was marveling at what you do and what you know and listening to the TEDx talk and all that stuff. And to think that you at one point were a broadcaster for CBS.
Yes.
Could you talk to us about that and make the connection?
Sure. Well, I was born under the Hollywood sign in Cedars of Lebanon Hospital 60 years ago on August 31st, I guess with a prophecy of my future in the Middle East, where I have lived for more than 20 years. The turning point was in 1992, I was living in France, working for CBS and broadcasting the Olympic Games from France to the 60 million viewers in the United States. I had already thrown away my television, and I sat next to the gentleman who read the wire services. Now, this is before the days of internet. And he'd go, listen, you wouldn't believe what's happened. And one day I got up enough courage and I said, I actually do. I've thrown away my television because I do know what's on there. He goes, you're from the moon. Tell me what. I said, war, rape, pillage, murder. Good news is a ceasefire. Only the names change around the world. He goes, you're from the moon. Let's look. I go, okay. We did. And it was that. He goes, I swear I'm going to find you your good news story. And, of course, he never did. And during those games, I prayed to use my voice for a higher purpose, and Voices of Eden is the result.
Wow. And to think, to be able to do that and to get an opportunity to do what you did means that you're at the top of that game. And now here you are in a completely different game and at the top of this one. And you have this big smile on your face, like, and this one's the one that counts or something.
Yeah, just as you were saying that, it's like, oh, my, thank you. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
No, because you're saying top of the game. Yeah, it's like, here I am back in Hollywood. You know, like, here we are, and we're in L.A., folks, dear folks all around the world. And what is top of the game? How has all of that happened is by listening, by trusting that small, still voice inside and not going according to what looks good or, you know, achieve our enlightenment, achieve the whatever, but daring to stop long enough to listen inside, having the courage to trust what that voice is saying, and then having the courage to take action in that direction, which builds the confidence to take the next step forward. And that's really been the process over the last 25 years and 60,000 hours of research.
Which makes sense why you're a leadership mentor and why you work with a lot of women, but men as well, and why you've written this book, Revealing the Ancient Wisdom of Feminine Leadership.
Yeah, which doesn't mean women or men, my dears. What I mean by feminine is inner focused, patient, kind, trusting, allowing, that we all have, men and women. And we don't have to look very far in our world to see what's going on. I love that contrast because that really helps me to see how much I'm accountable for my reality.
Okay.
There's nothing new under the sun except the practicing of what we know inside to be true.
Wonderful. And so for those who want to know more information, voicesofeden.com, right? And but also, is it the book that's available at Miriam's Secret?
Yeah, miriamsecret.com. Yeah, so, it's on Amazon. It's both in paperback, both on Kindle, and links to all of those are on miriamsecret.com, along with a free chapter to peek inside and a free gift of an ancient healing music meditation that was recently composed and recorded live in ancient Israel at a very majorly powerful healing music site.
Wow. I'm going to spell Miriam for people. M-I-R-I-A-M. Miriam's Secret. Miriamsecret.com. This is not the usual, it's going to sound like this, and it's going to have a hook, and then we're going to come around again. And what guide, for those of us who haven't experienced this kind of ancient healing, guide us through what we should expect.
Well, you know what? I love it. There is a hook. Only, there's a total hook, only the hook. You ready, folks? It's inside. And in Hebrew, the Hebrew is a spiritual language. It's based in feminine power when we were operating on the opposite hemisphere of the brain. And it's based on three-letter roots. And each letter has a sound property. It's beyond cognitive. Doesn't matter. The point being in this hook is that the three letters that represent the word for ear, you know, like listening, is ozen. And if you put a yud and a vav, they're vowels in Hebrew, in between those three letters, you get the word izun, which means balance, like inner ear balance. Mm. So the hook is your balance. And the medical research that's been conducted upon this music actually shows that it's in the silence. Well, it begins in silence, which creates a sense of focus. And then in the silence after the sound is when its power is most potent. It's like dropping a pebble in a pond, and then there's the reverberation afterwards.
So I imagine we're also going to hear your voice, but no words.
Correct.
And then this drum, what is it called?
This is Miriam's drum. Though this particular drum that I'm using, it's a handmade, it's a frame drum, and it's from Ankara, Turkey. And in Turkey, they call this a bindir.
Okay.
Bindir.
Do they say it that many times, or
no? I'm just as I'm saying it. I'm hearing repetition. Do I need to say it 26
more times?
Times
and we'll learn
I'm
it.
Be Turk.
Okay, and then I understand that we're going to feel, hear some bells and all, and then silence as well, and that's a big part of it.
Correct. In fact, bells. I come here with bells on, and the reason that I'm wearing bells, and these are actually bells that are made in the ancient world. Bells in ancient times, they were used to dissipate negative energy and to break up static.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it wrong to ask if we could title this?
Sure we can.
What can we title this?
All right. I'm going to ask you beautiful gentlemen in studio here. At the same time, I'm asking you, beautiful people all around the world, you also answer this question to yourself because there is power in the silent use of sound. Choose, if you were to say in one word, in an experience that you would like to experience when you are listening to this music, experiencing it, what would you like to experience such that when you leave this studio, you will say to yourself, my God, it was so worth it for me to be here now in this particular episode, and that reverberates onwards in one word without thinking. What would you say?
Joy.
Joy, great.
Peace.
Joy, peace.
I was going to say balance.
Joy, peace. That's fabulous. So joy, peace, balance is our focus. What are yours? We're going to add that into the mix.
Nice.
Well, joy, peace, balance.
Then here is Ileana Gilad composing and expressing, emoting. I don't know how to just...
Well, okay, yeah. Well, that's great. So I'm going to... I've never done this before on radio, so there's always a first time.
Welcome
life
to
changes.
Your first time. And you're 10 days away from your birthday, by the way, so
I
happy
know.
Birthday.
Yeah.
So this is joy, peace, balance, and more.
And more, right. And I'm going to first connect to the source of the sound, which is silence. It's basically connecting to the center of the earth with gravity, magnetic force. And then I'm going to get out of the way, listen to the sound, be in service to the music, and let her rip. The use of the voice releases tension. The use of the rhythm balances, grounds the body, the two together balance polarities. We'll see what happens.
Live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Amazing. Amazing.
How special was that? Eliana Gilad, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And it was wonderful to see how when you'd open your eyes, and I wish people could see this and looked at each one of us, how the music changed and to see your facial expressions. And I know this is on camera. I just wish
how
it was
it?
From this angle. I wish it were from this angle. In any event, how special. I want to remind everybody that you could learn more about Eliana Gilad and also hear her perform live. Look for that information at voicesofeden.com. And her book is at Miriam's Secret, MIRIAM Secret.com. Of course, she's on Facebook and all over. So make sure you connect if you're interested in this. And by the way, that free meditation you mentioned, we have a teaser on our webpage.
Also, if any of you would like to come to Seattle area, I'm going to be giving another TEDx talk on September 23rd. You're welcome to join us and experience this live.
Well, we thank you for having joined us here today on this very special day.
Thank you.
And thank you to Tess Cacciatore for introducing us.
Thank you, Tess.
And thank you, Dr. M.L. Nichols, for being with us today. Very special to have you both here. Want to thank Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so good,
our
technical director. And also a shout out and thank you to Doug Newsom at BBS Radio Network for being our program manager. Well, on behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, Mark Lejeune, our producer, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.